The London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine has joined the 10-10 campaign to cut carbon emissions causing climate change. At a symposium held at the school to mark this event, Tim Nicholson from the Campaign for Greener Healthcare told me what 10-10 is all about.
The idea is to have a campaign that combines all sectors of society into tackling climate change in a really positive, immediate, practical and measurable way. It's a 10% cut over 12 months starting in 2010.
Now, if as an individual or as an organisation you want to do something about cutting your emissions, what are the targets? What are the things you have to do?
As an individual, one needs to think about what is your carbon footprint made up of. It's very likely that the heating in your home, the electricity in your home and your travel will be three of the largest components within your personal carbon footprint. So it might be turning your heating down, it might be replacing your boiler if it's very old, increasing the insulation in your home. I mean, these are practical measures that can make a big difference to your energy consumption. Looking at switching appliances off, looking at your supply of electricity. These things are very positive, but also in terms of your personal travel, particularly flying is very carbon intensive, looking to maybe reduce the number of flights that we take, looking at using public transport instead. But also there's a really positive angle to taking more active travel. Walking and cycling is very good from a health perspective, and it's very low carbon, so it's good for the environment too.
Now, these are all wonderful ideas, but I'm sure a lot of people feel very daunted and they think that their small contribution isn't really going to make much difference.
Well, that's a fairly common trait, but of course, if we all as individuals make a change to our behaviour, then collectively that makes a massive difference. And where the 10-10 campaign, I think, is so empowering is that if you recognise that you're making these changes in concert with tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands and millions of people around the world, then suddenly you're really starting to make a huge difference.
And of course, a 10% reduction in carbon emissions in a 12-month period, that is realisable, is it?
Very much so. I mean, as an individual, it's perfectly achievable. I mean, in my own case, where I've been monitoring my gas and electricity and car use, year on year, I'm running currently at about a 20% reduction year on year. So if I continue with my sort of efforts that I'm doing at the moment, I will have exceeded the 10% target.
So what advice would you give to people all over the world considering joining 10-10 or considering doing something similar to this?
Climate change is an enormous problem. It's one of the biggest challenges that humanity faces. We have to take urgent action. 10-10 is a very powerful way to engage with a community of people that are taking action and changing their behaviour in order to cut emissions. So I would say sign up. I would say look at trying to encourage your employer to sign up and friends and family. And it's a very real, practical, positive step to tackle climate change.
Tim Nicholson and another organisation that's already made big progress in cutting its own carbon emissions is the British Medical Journal, whose editor-in-chief, Fiona Godley, told me how.
BMJ has been interested in the whole issue of climate change as a public health issue for quite a number of years, really since the early 90s. We have accelerated the output, if you like, of content in the BMJ discussing this since about 2005. And initially we did get quite a lot of negative comment from people saying, why was this in a medical journal? What had it to do with medicine? But over the last few years, that has really changed. And I think most readers, very few now, question why we're talking about climate change. And most, I think, are pleased that we're doing so.
And you have pointed out that doctors are often role models and they can set trends, they can set an example for people. So what have you been doing at the BMJ?
We have joined the 10-10 campaign, and we have at last now got our carbon footprint measured for a baseline for 2009 so that we can see whether we are indeed reducing our footprint through 2010. We've discovered, as expected, that the big contributor to our footprint in the building is our utilities bill, which is our electricity bill. We've got to find ways to get that down. We also know that our print journal, we produce 120,000 copies of the BMJ in print every week. We know that that's quite a big contributor to our carbon footprint. And we need to think, well, you know, more users online is obviously a good thing.
And what about business travel and things like video conferencing?
We are making a big effort to reduce our business travel. I myself have just got a webcam attached to my computer at work, and I always ask now, if I'm asked to give a talk out of the UK, whether I could do it by video conference, and quite a number of people do accept that now.
Do you really think, though, that organisations like the BMJ, perhaps other journals and other organisations, really can make a difference, or is this just a token gesture?
I think we shouldn't give up on mitigation, on actually reducing carbon footprint around the world. I think that the healthcare industry across the world contributes a vast amount to carbon footprint, and the NHS in particular is a big carbon emitter in the UK. And so I think that the healthcare professionals have a big job to reduce their own individual footprint, their footprint as professionals, the healthcare system's footprint, and also to encourage people in other sectors to do the same.
And from your experience in an organisation, an august organisation, the British Medical Association, has it been easy, and do you have any words of advice to give other organisations?
I think, first of all, get a very good help with measuring your footprint. That's not an easy thing to do. Get the staff engaged at an early stage, because they have a lot of good ideas, and it's a lot of the changes will be through staff behavioural change, and you really need to get them on board.
Fiona Godley of the BMJ. And also at the symposium held to announce the London School's involvement with 1010, Paul Wilkinson explained to me exactly what the school's doing.
The 1010 campaign starts today, really, for us, or beginning of July, in fact, technically. We are trying to link into it a whole variety of measures. Some of it's about awareness raising, trying to get people to act more responsibly to save energy so that they turn off unnecessary devices, think about how they get to and from the school, fly less on their business travel, and so on. But behind that also is a longer-term initiative that the school has a sustainability group, which has been for 2 or 3 years now, looking at how, as an institution, we can reduce our carbon emissions. And that has been putting in place a variety of different steps, bit by bit, to try and replace things which will improve our energy emissions.
You've been addressing a group of people here at the London School, and I heard you say something quite astonishing, and that is that you are actually planning to reduce the London School's carbon footprint by 90% in the foreseeable future. Could you explain this to me? It sounds impossible.
Yes, you are correct. That's exactly it. In fact, we have two targets: to halve against our 2006 baseline, to halve emissions by 2020, in just 10 years from now, and to reduce by 90% against our 2006 baseline by 2050. Those are very ambitious targets, but actually they are more or less in line with what we are going to need to achieve as a high-income country anyway, and that reflects little more, actually, than our fair contribution to that overall reduction. It's ambitious, it's very difficult, it amounts to something close to a 5% reduction each year, but we believe it is achievable through a variety of initiatives, and we've committed ourselves to try to do that.
Can you tell me what sorts of things are the biggest contributors to the London School's carbon footprint and what you're doing about them?
Yes, well, it's very clear. We have two big categories that we know about. The first and the biggest one of all is our energy use, and primarily electricity use within our buildings. And that accounts for about two-thirds of our quantified emissions so far. Surprisingly, we also have a big travel-related emissions, which is most of the other third. And that's for our business travel, because as an institution we have a lot of commitments and research interests around the globe as a School of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, and that takes people around. So those two categories together are our main sources of emissions. But there are other things which we haven't yet fully got to grips with quantifying, and they include the energy embedded in the goods and services we purchase, for example, and that's something for the future for us to deal with.
And what actual things can individual people within this wonderful organisation do?
Well, there are many things that you can do as an individual. Very obviously, you can simply turn off things that aren't needed, so turning off electrical devices which are unnecessary or not running or not being used. It means you can also choose, if you can find alternatives, not to travel. Many of us go on a lot of trips each year for business reasons relating to the activities of the school, but perhaps some of them aren't necessary or could be achieved by, say, video conferencing instead. We're trying to promote that. It's also possible for us to do things at home. You know, we shouldn't just think of the school as the only place where we can save energy. You can do it at home, and one of the advantages there is that you notice much more directly the saving and cost to yourself. So again, having low energy devices, low energy light bulbs, turning off things when not running, not leaving on standby, and so on.
So are you optimistic?
Yes. I think there's no doubt that these targets are incredibly challenging. They will not be achieved by very simple measures or simply recycling a few things or not using plastic carrier bags to go to a shop. That's of no consequence, really, in terms of these targets. What it means is people have to take it seriously and do a whole variety of things, none of which individually will solve it. But we have concluded here that it is possible to achieve those targets through a combination of behaviours, changing our infrastructure, cutting down on travel by use of video conferencing, things like that, a whole variety of things put together, each one of which makes its own small contribution, but together they add up to a lot.
Paul Wilkinson of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, with encouragement for all of us that we can save the planet. For Audio News, I'm Peter Goodwin.